Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome. It's wonderful to see everyone here, and especially for everyone who's visiting or coming back. I see we have some people that used to worship with us. Kitchen Anna, it's great to see you guys. It'll be good to catch up afterwards. Today we're going to be looking at what John believes is the absolute reality of existence. That God is light and that in him is no darkness at all. As we do this, let's pray. Heavenly Father, God of light, humble us this day, we pray. Please open our eyes to see and hear what your word has in store for us this day. Put within us an understanding of what it means that you are light and that in you is no darkness at all. Amen. Well, for John, light and darkness are two words with great meaning. They represent absolute reality. That God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. John is writing to us as Christians, the readers of this letter. He is concerned for the well-being of the church. Here is the nature of God, who he is. Who is God? God is light, and in him there is no darkness. As Christians, Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 how the light, God, has affected us. Verse 6 he says, "For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." We as Christians read our passage today from 1 John with this understanding, that God has already shone his light into our hearts, which were in darkness. It's a beautiful summer's day. You've been sitting inside reading. I don't know what your house is like, but mine is old. It was built in the 20s, in a row, wall to wall, and there's not a lot of architectural emphasis on natural light. There are windows at the front and back, but the middle is dark. On this particular day, you're reading in the middle of the house, and you remember you have a load of washing in the laundry that needs to be hung up on the line. You go out and spend 20 minutes in the bright sunshine, hanging the washing out. And then as you walk back into the house, it's so dark you just can't see. The light of the sun outside has shone, and now the darkness inside is obvious. It's very much the same when God shines into our hearts. The light changes us, and we see a different reality. Genesis chapter 1 tells us of the first time that the sunlight shone. And God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night and the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the fourth day. Well, God has blessed us in creation with the sun to light our path as we walk. This physical light lets us see. We can go about our daily work. The sun in the sky is not God, but it does help us understand God's character. His light makes it possible for us to see the spiritual reality of who he is and of our absolute need for him. John has a wonderful story to tell us about light. As we heard in the book of John chapter 1, we read, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. So then, as God is light, Jesus is light. John says he is the true light, the light of the world. And it's because of the salvation he brings that we can become children of God who walk in his light. In relation to the darkness, as we heard again in John chapter 1, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. If God is light, then we know who and what the darkness is. Sin, the devil, death. Paul, in warning the church about false apostles, says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Satan is the enemy of God, absolutely. God is without sin, absolutely. God has defeated sin and death through his Son, Jesus Christ. As Paul again writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the sting of death is sin and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. There is absolutely nothing of sin, of Satan, of death in God. It is a big message. But here in 1 John, John does not spend time expounding the message itself. He is writing to God's people who have already been brought from darkness into light. Instead, John spends time writing about the impact that this message of light and darkness has upon us. John looks at four distinct areas: our fellowship together, our sin, our obedience to God, and our hearts. He does this through a series of if statements. John says, if this thing is true, then these other things are also true. And they are absolutes, just like the message. And they are about us. God, through John, is warning and encouraging the church. He wants us to walk in the light, not in darkness. So John gives us these statements. They are measures with which we can examine ourselves. They are the impact upon us that the message has. And the message being that God is light, that in him there is no darkness at all. Well, let's look at the first set of statements, our fellowship. In verse 6, if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son cleanses us from all sin. But John doesn't sugarcoat the truth. In the church there are people who are not Christian. They are disguised. They are the diseased tree in Matthew chapter 7. So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown in the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. People walking in darkness, even though they claim to be in the light, will bear bad fruit. The statements here from John tell us that you can only have true fellowship with people who walk in the light through the blood of Jesus. And when we are talking about truth and lies, it is good to remember that Satan is the father of lies. He prowls around like a lion. He will put his people, those still walking in darkness, into the church to try and destroy it. Paul goes on in the 2 Corinthians chapter 11 passage with respect to Satan masquerading as an angel of light. Paul says, "So it is no surprise then if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their end will correspond to their deeds." Well, John wants us to remember from John, from the book of John, chapter 1, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Well, John then turns to the next set of if statements. How the message impacts upon us with respect to our sin. From verse 8, "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." Well, it's important to note here that these statements are not true because of one another. It's not true. It's not because I walk in the light that God forgives my sins. The statement is true because of the message that God is light, that in him is no darkness at all. As with the first set of statements about fellowship, we know that they are true because the light of the gospel has shone in our hearts. There is also a reminder here that people will be in church who aren't walking in the light, who don't believe in their sin. John directly addresses this deception. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Basically, it is thinking that we are good from birth. This lie is so destructive because it says we don't need Jesus. And there are many subtle ways that you can believe this lie. Perhaps you've heard people say that they are pretty good, definitely not evil or sinful. Perhaps you've heard people convinced that a baby is born right and then makes a choice to sin after birth, probably in the terrible twos, I imagine. For John, these arguments are not true. Absolutely. King David wrote the truth in Psalm 51. "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." And the prophet Jeremiah had a very clear understanding of our sin. In chapter 17, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it?" Then in 1 John verse 10, John continues with a similar statement, but with a subtle difference. "If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." Well, this lie is so destructive because it says that we can stop needing Jesus. Basically, this thinking says that we can become good at some point in our lives and stop sinning. If we say this, we make God's word into lies. We make out that God is a liar. Obviously, this is not true. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. God does not lie. And because God is not a liar, if someone believes in this lie, then they are not walking in the light, and God's word is not in them. Excuse me. John gives us a way to combat both these lies. In the middle, in verse 9, John tells us to confess our sins. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Confessing our sins reminds us of our constant need for Jesus. And because we know that God is not a liar, when he tells us that he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, we can be assured that he does. This is a shield for those walking in the light against despairing of our sin. Well, the third set of if statements, measurements of the impact of the message, look at our obedience. In chapter 2, from verse 3, "And by this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Once again, it's important to note that these statements are not true because of one or the other. It's not that God's love is perfected in us because we keep God's word. They are true because of the message that God is light, that in him is no darkness at all. John reminds us yet again that there will be people in church who are still walking in darkness. If we are walking in the light, we will obey God's word. And it's not under our own power that disobedience is possible, but rather that we are grafted into the true vine. That when we are grafted into the true vine, we bear good fruit. As John says in chapter 15, in verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. Sorry, John is saying Jesus. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, that's Jesus, you can do nothing. Apart from Jesus, we cannot obey. This brings us back to the message that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. When we walk in the light, we will obey. And alongside this obedience, God's love is perfected in us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. But now that we walk in the light, we obey. God's love is what makes this all possible. His love put Jesus on the cross. His love raised Jesus from the dead. His love draws his people to himself. The relationship between God and man has been restored. So our obedience is a sign of this restored relationship and of God's love at work in us as we abide in him. In chapter 4 of 1 John, in verse 16 and on, it says, so we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us. Well, in the fourth and the final set of statements, John addresses our hearts from verse 9. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Once more, we can be reminded that these statements are true because of the message that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. We are to understand that Christians do not hate each other. Hate is of darkness. It comes from walking in darkness. If we are walking in the light, through God restoring us to himself, we are not to hate. In chapter 4 of 1 John, verse 19 and onwards says, we love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. There will always be those in the church who walk in darkness. And we know from these verses that hatred for your brother or sister comes from darkness. Instead, our hearts are to be full of love for one another. And that love is outward, flowing out to those around us. We can take great encouragement from what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Well, finally then, let us be reminded of the message from 1 John, that God is light and that in him is no darkness at all. We have a number of glimpses into this glorious reality in the scriptures. In Exodus chapter 34, we read, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. Aaron and all the people of Israel saw Moses, and behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. God is light, and Moses' face shone after speaking with God. The mere reflection of God's light caused the people to cower in fear. Yet through Jesus, we are able to not only see, but to walk in God's light. And Stephen beheld God's radiance before he died. At the end of Acts chapter 6, we read, And gazing at him, all who sat in the council saw that his face was like the face of an angel. And then at the end of chapter 7, these most wonderful words. Now when they heard these things, they were enraged, and they ground their teeth at him. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God. Pardon me. And Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we walk in the light, we will have fellowship with one another. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Let us confess our sins before the Lord. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Rejoice in our obedience to God. His love is perfected in us. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Let us love one another, because God first loved us. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Let's close in prayer. Almighty God of light, in whom there is no darkness at all, thank you for saving us from darkness. Thank you for restoring us into your glorious light. Please hold our hands and guide us as we walk together as your church in obedience to you. Write your word on our hearts that we might not sin against you. Amen.